Blog Talk Radio.
So this is my new intro. I can't play name brand songs because they'll cut me off. You know, Instagram and YouTube are funny with that.
Now entering the ultimate entrepreneur experience, the I Am Unique podcast.
Different things of that sort. But who are your clients? you know. So what are they interested in, and what are they, what are their passions? What are those people looking at? I'm passionate. My clients, for example, are small businesses who have capital to grow their business. You have to see that, there's a thing about that with coaches, that have capital to grow their business and a marketing budget, that have a passion in making sure that they get more leads and more clients to their business. So those are, that is my niche. I do work specifically with restaurants and in the beauty industry. And it can be a product or a service industry. Both of them are a little different, but it can be online or it can be a brick and mortar. So those are my demographics. I don't have a age range. It's usually between 35 and 55, only because by that time, you know exactly what you want in business. You know how you structured it. You've gone through some failures and understand that you need a coach. You need somebody to help them. Now, the second part, which is the hardest part, is identifying what problem you're going to solve. What problem are you solving your customers? So if you have a cream or a shea butter, what problem are you solving? Dry skin, rashes, eczema. What problem are you solving? Dry scalp, you know, moisturizing hair growth oils. What are you solving? And I identify that problem of what you're solving. So for me, my example is that I am solving your marketing issues. I am here to help you generate more funds, more money to get the clients that you desire. So I want to help you get the reach to the clients that you want. The next part about finding who your next client is or find that perfect client, look at your competitors and see who they're going after and see why they're going after these people and understand what they're doing and growing their business. You know, so asking, finding your competitors and seeing what they're doing will actually help you find your niche in your business as well, okay? So making sure that you know who your competitors are and are knowledgeable with their products. There are enough of shea butter companies out there to go to work. Everybody's not going to see everybody. Everybody's in different places, in different cities, in different parts of the world. So they're going to see different things. So don't think that because your competitors are right next door to you, that they're going to be at every event that you're going to be in. They're going to be doing different things. You know what I mean? So determine the profitability of your niche. What does that mean? How much do you expect to earn from providing this product to your target audience? Know what you want to make. My goal is $30,000 a month right now. Like, let me get to $30,000, very close to it. Get to $30,000 a month, and then let's scale from there. So making sure you know how you're going to profit from your niche client. How are they? Do they have the money to garbage? If you're working with low-income people, you can't have a $20 box of soap. You know what I mean? So that means you need to lower your prices and then sell more in quantity. So making sure that you know your product is priced and is profitable for your niche client is what you really need to do in your business, okay? Test your ideas. Have a test market. Make sure you go out here and test your business and see what people are doing and seeing what businesses are in your realm are doing. You know, because if you don't have a test market, sometimes you really don't know what your product will do in the market and how you can effectively help somebody grow to where they need to be. Those are some of those questions that you need to ask yourself in finding your niche. So, in finding your niche product, the biggest thing to overcome is making sure that you have a great relationship with those people, making sure that you find out what they're needing, you're solving their problem, you're making sure that they're getting the items that they need in their business. Because if you do not, make sure that they have everything that they need, they're not going to come to you. So make sure that you are engaging with these people, engaging with the people you want. Talk to them. Build this relationship up with them. Because say, for instance, your niche is bike riders, right? Now, everybody got bikes. Everybody is, riding up and down the Beltline, riding up and down the street. What are people complaining about? What don't people have on their bike that they need? That would be a great way to figure out how to find that target market. Is it a bag? Is it a hook? Is it a phone? Is it a way to hold their phone? Is it a water bottle holder? Yes, some of these things are already designed, but are they effective for that person's riding? So say you're riding off road. I have one of the bikes that have the water thing you just slide in. If I hit a big bump, then it's going to fall out, right? It falls out on a regular soft road. Now, if I'm going to take my bike off road and I'm going up and down hills, this water is going to fall out. So the best thing is to find something in that niche that will help them with that, holding that water bottle in. So making sure you understand your customer, understand what their problems are, understand how you're going to solve their problems, and then present them with multiple ideas to solve that problem. Because having a strap on a water bottle may be convenient for some, it may be inconvenient. They're like, maybe we should just build a bigger water bottle. I don't know. Things that you need to have in your, you need to know what obstacles do you need them to overcome so that they can grow your business. How can you empower others with your product? Your product is specific. Like, we're going to go to Mr. Num Num Sauce and we're going to talk to him about his product, and it's low sodium sauce. So how do you, why would you come up with that low sodium sauce? What, how important is having a low sodium sauce on the market? And, you know, why would someone need that? Who needs that? You know, and obviously you would think about somebody who has high blood pressure, who is, you know, paying attention to their salt intake in their diet. Those are the people who want a low sodium. People who retain water, have a lot of mucus in their body. Those people want low sodium diets. So those are the reasons why now they can have a low sodium sauce that they worked with them. You know, and that all comes down with a family or somebody in a relationship that will help you find out that problem. Do you know how many people out here have high blood pressure or need low sodium options? There are thousands and millions of people out here who are on there, who want a natural, taste good, low sodium option for anything. Same thing with shea butters and lotions. I'm not an advocate for buying Jergens or Ivory or Dove lotions or any other kind of lotions that you can find out the store. I don't buy those kind of lotions. The reason why is because they're filled with different chemicals and they really do not help my skin. So people, Jergens and them, found their niche market with those people who don't have actual dry skin issues. But if you have dry skin issues, then you need to use something like a shea butter or oil or something like that. So those are your clients, and those are the problems that you're solving. So when Jergens don't work, shea butter will. You know what I mean? And it will last. I put regular lotion on my body, and it within seconds, I look like I didn't even put lotion on. So these are the things that you have to really know about your customers. The butters, the shea butters, the oils are long-lasting. They absorb in your skin. They're beneficial. Mine contains vitamin E, so it helps heal the skin to make it look rich and beautiful. Those are things that you should tell your customers if you have that kind of business. Depending on what kind of business you have and who you're trying to target, is the message that you are trying to target. You can't make a song about eight tracks and not CDs, but shit, we almost can make CDs and DVDs into a song and try to hit the younger crowd, the Gen X's. They will look at you like, what is an eight track? What is a cassette tape? What is an album? What is an album? You mean, you know, like Jay-Z's album? No, like an actual round album that you put on a recorder and play. You can't make songs and tell them about things like that if those are the people you're trying to target. Now, if you're trying to target 70s babies and 80s babies, 60s babies, you know, and for in that way on, south or north, I guess, however you look at it, those are the people who would understand what you're talking about. And those are the people who would be able to relate to that. So making sure that your message, even if you are older or younger, making sure that your message is compliant to your target market is the most important thing. Making sure that your items look like, if you have a luxury brand, you need to make your brand look luxury. If it's expensive, make it look, if you want to charge more for something, oil in a bottle is oil in a bottle. Oil in a brown bottle looks more expensive than oil in a clear bottle or oil in a plastic bottle. Now, all of the oils can be the same exact oils, but because of the, you spend 10 cents more on the brown bottle or the black bottle and black labels or the white labels that made it look so fresh and so clean, your product can sell quicker. So however you market your product, however you package your product, needs to talk to the audience that you want to target. Not you, the people who you're trying to reach out to. If you are doing a lower product, you know, it could still be a nice high-cost shea butter or a quality shea butter, but you're only charging $5, $10 for it, then you need to make sure that your bottles are $5, $10 bottles or plastic bottles. They're not the greatest bottles. Have you watched how companies will raise their price because their packaging got nicer? You know why? Because their packaging got nicer. Their costs went up. So they spend more money on having those costs, on those costs, than they did building their product. So those are the things that you have to take in consideration when you are building your brand and building your business and making sure that you what the clients, targeting the clients that you want in your business. All right, we got somebody on hold. Hold on one second. Let's see who this is. Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, how are you?
Okay. So I came across your show, and I've heard one part of a past episode, and it sounds good.
Thank you.
To start off with, when a person has to or feels that he or she is going to become an entrepreneur, he or she really needs to know what the niche is at the very beginning, because
yes,
there's so many people. Yeah, I've heard that on your show before. Because when people start, they always think that, for example, if you're going to start up a storefront, now you probably don't. You personally probably don't want to give your advice to too many storefronts. You'd rather give it to corporations. But just using a storefront as an example, a lot of people just set up a store, and they think that the foot traffic is going to be enough to make them money. Excuse me. No, you have to have a concentrated and a concerted effort to go after the people that are actually going to bring in the money. And unless people really know how to do that, then they're going to be like the 80% of people who fail within 5 years.
Exactly. I do agree with you 100%, because that's why a lot of people fail, because they build their store or their business around them, not their customers.
Yeah. There was a marketer who said that, let me see, the real public opinion that matters isn't the boss, it's your market. They're the jury of last resort and first resort. You've got to find out what's going to please them, because if you keep on thinking that what you're doing, since it pleases you, is going to make you money, and it hasn't made you enough money so far, it's probably not going to make you enough money in the future.
Exactly.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if you've encountered this, but in my exploits, when I've been hired to give advice to the people who hired me, one particular case, we had made an agreement about what I was going to bring to the company. And then as soon as I got there, then he tells me, I'm sorry, but we just don't do that here, you know. And I'm like, well, look, you hired me to bring change. Progress is change. You can't make progress unless you actually change. But people don't want to do it. So when they fail, they don't even really know why.
Well, they can't go, think past go. And when you're in your business, you are so clouded with, you know, what's going on, how much I got to buy, how much money I'm spending, da-da-da-da-da. You're not really focused on your message. And that's why I always tell people, if you know who your niche is, if you know who your loyal client is from the beginning, then that will just come naturally. But if you're just out here, I got some shea butter, or I got some oil, or I got some of this, I got some of that, and I want to sell it, then you're not going to find the person who really needs and likes your product. What is your name, sir?
Joe.
Joe. Do you have a business?
No, I've got residual income. I don't have to work.
Congratulations. I want to be like you when I grow up, Joe. if you don't mind speaking, what is some of your residual income that you have?
I don't go into that.
Okay. What about some other business ventures have you been on and done? What are some other business ventures that you've done?
No, I'll tell you one particular business that I was attempting to help, and it was a IT business long, long time ago, and they were trying to sell a website before WordPress came along. Excuse me. And that was the business I was thinking of when I was mentioning how the person was saying to me, we just don't do that here. I heard that another time. And after a while, I would just say, okay, fine. You know, if you insist upon doing things your way, then just make sure to fill out a space at the unemployment office. Because unless you really know what you're doing, and marketing is especially important when you're trying to be successful in a business, well, okay, do it your way. Don't believe but yourself.
And that's what a lot of small businesses have the problem with, is they get stuck in their own ways, and you have to make those changes going on. But Joe, I appreciate you being on. I have another guest popping in, and I thank you.
Okay. Sure. Take it easy.
You have a great night.
You too.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. This is Mr. Michael Lloyd.
Hey, how you doing? Good. That's good to hear. Glad you're doing good. Reverse osmosis top gallon.
Yes. So tell everybody who you are and what do you do?
Okay, my name is Dr. Michael Lloyd. I am a food scientist and entrepreneur. I make healthy condiments and put them in specialty retail grocery stores. The brand is called Num Num Salt.
Nice. So what made you come up with the Num Num Salt?
Okay. Well, I was laid off from my pharmaceutical scientist job in 2008. And I decided to launch the condiment brand and commercialize the technology. I was able to get in front of Whole Foods Market when they were looking for local brands in Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina. And just had an opportunity and was able to capitalize on it because I just got laid off. And was able to move forward with that and actually get back into graduate school to study food science so I can be more efficient with my product development efforts and also learning more about the food science aspect of the product that I was producing.
Nice. So knowing your sauce, the Num Num sauce, if you don't have it, make sure you go to Whole Foods or buy it from numnum.com. Or you might be able to find more Beltline or different venues out here, local what do you call it, festivals out here. He's everywhere in Atlanta, Georgia. So what made you, who is your loyal customer? Who is your best customer as a group?
Well, my loyal customer would be wellness seekers, people looking to feed their families the best products, the most healthful products, the highest quality products in specialty retail. Also millennial moms, people that have children that are, I want to say tired of or like looking for healthy alternatives. People who desire functional foods are foods that look or maybe even taste the same as the typical conventional foods, but have a health benefit. So people looking for functional foods. Yeah, that's pretty much it. People that want to be well and healthy and want to eat right and improve their health statuses or lower their risk of acquiring diseases through their diet. And our lifestyle.
That is awesome. So the healthy food lifestyle, the people who want to be that nutritionist, that healthy person out there is who are you looking, is looking for your item. Why did you choose that? Why didn't you just make a better sauce that just tastes good and can be put on the shelf?
Actually, that is what I had originally, was something that just tastes good, because, you know, the genesis of the Num Num sauce was a product that my great-granddaddy made in the 1940s and produced commercially that didn't survive my grandfather, his son, marriage. So my grandmother and grandfather separated after they had my mom and her sisters, and so the family business didn't survive that breakup after my great-granddad died in the early 1960s. So the sauces were just something that we consumed at home at my grandpa's house, and I didn't know that he knew how to make sauces. And, you know, I just knew that my granddad's food was better than everybody else's food. He always had some type of red sauce on it. And so he didn't show me some processes on how to make sauces until I was in graduate school working on my master's. And so I didn't know that the sauce was healthy or anything. I just knew it tasted better than everybody else's stuff. And so after about a year of moving product in Whole Foods, I realized I didn't know enough about the food science discipline, because my area of expertise and industry experience was pharmaceuticals. So I was a pharmaceutical scientist while I was in graduate school in Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. So after about a year of making the sauce at night, going to work during the daytime, and doing the in-store demonstrations and marketing, on the weekend, I realized that I couldn't answer all the questions that the informed consumer that shopped at Whole Foods were asking me. So that was why I went back to school, so I can prepare myself for what I was doing. And in the process, I was able to identify that the product was healthy. It was low in sodium. It was flavorful, but it was also low in sodium. And so I kept just taking classes designed to educate me and fill the gaps that I had in science with the food discipline, food science discipline, and I was able to develop technologies that allow us to manipulate the flavor profile in desirable ways without negatively impacting terms of, you know, keeping the desirable flavor, but still, you know, making it the way we don't have to add artificial flavorings or a lot of sodium and stuff like that. So it didn't start off as I knew that I wanted to make something healthy. It just so happened that what I ended up developing was a way to maximize the flavor profiles from the high quality ingredients that we were using. And we weren't using the same ingredients as the other tomato condiment products that are on the shelf, like ketchup and barbecue sauce. So we were using fresh tomatoes instead of the processed paste and things. As being, oh, I'm going to make a healthy thing, it kind of evolved into that over the course of me earning my PhD in food science.
Oh, wow. Understandable. So that shows that, like, so your grandfather probably doing that for his health or just, like, natural-tasting stuff. He ate something that's natural, and it tastes real good. And people are like, what is this? Why would I eat this? It's not my normal mustard, my normal ketchup. Not understanding that it tastes very similar, but it's just made with better ingredients.
Yeah, a better ingredients and more clean. Like, you know, it doesn't overpower so condiments were made originally by Native Americans and African American slaves, and so they were given less favorable cuts of meat, basically the scraps. So they had to figure out how to make that stuff taste good. And so that's where condiments and sauces came from and was spread during the building of the railroads out west and up north from the south. And so the process of making the type of sauces that I make, the healthier ones, was just law of commercialization or the industrialization movement. And so that's why we call the Num Num sauce a backwoods hidden country secret, because it is a backwoods hidden country secret that I've been able to revitalize in terms of the technologies and able to commercialize them. So this is a product or a brand that is from the old age of caring and loving and putting positive energy into the production and not just trying to make something that people like in terms of flavor. They got a lot of salt in it, you know what I'm saying? So we actually process our products with love and care and respect, and it takes time to make our products. So we don't just make it in an hour or just dumping this and that and just make it like that. So we have a consistent, arduous process, you know, which is why we're able to activate the flavor profiles that we're able to activate, which enables us to not need as much salt and sugar and stuff to make it taste good.
Wow. But, you know, that's true. Because what people don't really understand is, like, back in the day, your grandmother cooked all day. Like, she cooked in the morning, and she had the greens and the flowers and meat that fell off of the bone, and that roast was cooked all day. Things cooked for a longer period of time back in the day. Originally, like, because everything came from scratch. So with that being said, it always tastes better. Now you get somebody that want to cook it in 2 minutes or put it in something real quick, and you don't get those flavor profiles, like you said, from the actual item, the vegetable. If you use organic vegetables or a cleaner vegetable, it's not, you know, mass produced or fruit, it's not mass produced. Then those taste so much different than you trying to buy some fruits and vegetables that are like, I call them, I'm not just saying they're modified, they're just, you know, grew faster. They're grown faster.
Yeah, yeah. You're rushing the process.
Right, and then you lose all of the flavor, all of the taste. Because if you notice, if y'all notice, I don't know if you how old everybody is on my podcast, but if you notice that when you were younger and you ate some good fruit or good food, it tastes good. It tastes sweet. It tastes almost like sugar. Certain things taste just like sugar. Now, you can't even eat fruit, and it's going to have no taste to it, no nothing to it. So... It's disappointing because I used to like oranges and apples, and now if I don't buy them like from a local grower or fresh organic, they don't even taste good. I don't even want to eat them.
Right.
And then that goes into the whole lifestyle thing because that means now your kids. That's why I like so much vegetables because I wouldn't like vegetables if I grew up nowadays and that's what all the vegetables I ate. Because they don't taste like anything.
Yep. So that's why. So that's why we have an initiative where we're looking to bring tomato processing to the Southeast, so we can control the quality of our raw materials and other fruits and vegetables. But since the per capita consumption of processed tomatoes is 73 pounds, which means that every person in America in a year's time eats 73 pounds of processed tomatoes, the demand is already high. So we just have to replace the less quality processed tomatoes with higher quality cultivars and varieties, coming out of the Fertile South, because right now, all of the processed tomatoes that are grown and produced are coming from California. And, you know, there's a drought out there and everything with the water. And so we're more fertile down here in the Southeast. So we are looking to scale that initiative at some point in 2023, starting off in 2023. So we got some technologies that we've patented in processing tomatoes in a more clean and environmentally friendly, eco-friendly way. And so once we get those patents all the way approved and everything, then we're going to move forward with, putting tomato processing plants and fruit processing plants in Georgia and North Carolina and South Carolina and Florida.
Wow, that'll be super awesome. Because I think bringing back some of that, the crazy part is like bringing back some of that old school stuff really makes a difference. Because if you notice about anything that was back in the day, like we ate pork, we ate chicken, we ate food, and nobody had all of this cancer and all of these problems.
Right.
And they ate worse than what we eat now. They ate way worse. You know, you had that Crisco on that counter and that bacon fat and all that in the weird shaped jars on the counter. You know what I mean? It stayed there for months and you're like, what is this, Granny? And we didn't get sick. We didn't have all these diseases out here. So my thing is like, how do we come back to that? Like, how do we come back to farm-raised, farm-grown, like, that kind of lifestyle versus everything being so over-processed and so much chemicals in everything?
So how you come back from that is the people who care about the food, the people who take pride in it, need to be the one to produce them. You know, and the people who took pride in were the indigenous people of America. So that's who needs to produce the produce that is eventually going to be processed into value-added food products. You know, it's the people who were producing before, during the time that where everybody was eating healthy and things. So that's what we're doing, and we're moving forward with our you know, procuring the infrastructure and procuring the market share and letting people know that we have the solution to take things back to the old days of caring about the food and not just trying to make a quick buck. You know, we actually want to make healthy food, and that occurs by putting the energy into it that's needed, and not just trying to do everything all quick and in a hurry, you know. So that's where it starts.
That struggle, not to say that it can't happen, but it is one of those things that, like, it takes a lot of like-minded people, a lot of that niche clientele that will actually want to do that. I mean, we're not all people that live in the company that you are surrounding yourself with, and who, you know, a lot of people don't even understand how to eat healthy, how not to eat stuff with cheese and salt, all kinds of stuff on top of it. Like, can you just eat some meat and a vegetable and a rice? You know, like, people really are so used to processed foods. So this is very empowering to know that there are other people out there who don't technically have to have the processed foods in their diet. Because you don't really need it, but most people do it because they're fast and easy.
So we actually have an app that we're developing that's going to help people regulate their metabolism and to a degree where they understand the nutritive value of the food that they're consuming or about to consume, and so we can make healthy foods taste a little better, but that's produced with high quality ingredients.
Nice. That is super awesome. That is super awesome. So coming into the end of the show, can you tell people where they can find you, where they can purchase the Num Num sauce?
Okay. Sure. You can find the Num Num sauce at www.numnumsauce.com. And also, we sell product in Whole Foods Market stores in the South region. That's in North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, and also in some Florida stores as well. Where else? Oh, and we're also out on the Beltline moving products out there. So you'll see us out there in the evenings from maybe like 6 p.m. to like 9 p.m. On Sundays and Saturdays. And follow us on Instagram at numnumsauce, N-U-M-N-U-M-S-A-U-C-E on IG, and on TikTok, numnumsauceofficial. You can follow us on there. That's pretty much it.
Nice. So everybody, if y'all are health conscious, realistically, that's his target market. But if y'all like a good sauce, y'all want a good sauce to put over your meat and your vegetables and get an added bonus that is healthy, go pick you up some Num Num sauce from numnum.com and at any Whole Foods if you're in the South, and anywhere, and come on the Beltline if you're in Atlanta, Georgia on the weekend. And check them out so you can get a little taste of it and try it out. Try out that Num Num.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to share our brand with everybody.
You are very welcome. I will share this post, and you please share it with your people and your followers as well. And tell them, everybody, I'll tell everybody about the Num Num sauce, and let's get this money. So I
yes,
appreciate
ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I really appreciate all the work you do, and I really appreciate the fact that you have platforms for small business owners. And so thank you very much for doing what it is that you do.
Thank you. really appreciate that. Thank you. You have a good night.
All righty. Okay, thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody, that was Michael Lloyd with the Num Num Sauce. Make sure y'all find him and get you some Num Num Sauce. So tonight's broadcast, like I said, is brought to you by Bye Pookie. Make sure you get this book. Please, 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 guys, subscribe to my channel if you're on Instagram and Facebook. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. These are uploaded onto YouTube every Wednesday. They're uploaded on YouTube. Sometimes I shoot live. Today, I guess I didn't press the button. So I will have to upload it onto my YouTube channel. But stay tuned. This will be uploaded to YouTube. And you can actually find it on Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, Blog Talk, and any of those other platforms that you like to be on. So make sure you like, subscribe, turn your notifications on so that you can hear me talk and listen to my intro. So I'm going to play my new intro again because I like it, and I'm going to make it an extra. So listen. Y'all have a great night, and I will see you later next Wednesday, 9 o'clock. Subscribe, stay tuned, turn your notifications on, and be here.
The Ultimate Entrepreneur Experience, the highly unique podcast. We talk about business, lifestyle, fitness, health, and mindset. Everything that surrounds you being a successful business owner. Hosted by yours truly, Unique Rice. DIY business coach.
This is my intro.
About marketing and lifestyle. Let's get ready to make this money. Thank you for joining my podcast, and I appreciate you being here. Please like and share this podcast with everybody around.